Our scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter and the second chapter and the 13th verse. That's to be found on 1218 in our church Bible, 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for our righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to ask you a question, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but if you choose to, put your hand up. Who here has ever been inside a prison? It's actually a good number of you, but still probably more people haven't been than have been. Until this year, I had never been inside of a prison. Earlier this year, I was asked to start visiting a man who's in prison, and so I've done so a few times. And if you have been in a prison, you know that getting in and out to visit someone is quite complicated. There are security checks, there are many different locked doors you need to go through, that there are some areas where they'll open up a door and you'll go in, and then they'll close you in before they open up another door. Other areas where they are doing fingerprint checks to make certain that you are who you say you are and that you're allowed to go out. And because they want to make sure the people that are meant to stay in the prison stay there. And the visits that I've made there have made me think quite a bit about freedom, both my own freedom and also the freedom of the man that I've been visiting that's going to be in that prison for many, many, many years. Now, in this passage that Richard just wrote to us, Peter talks about freedom. And there's one particular verse that stands out to me, and that's verse 16. I know most of you have the verse on these sheets. I'll ask you to, either in your Bibles or on the sheet, look at verse 16 throughout the sermon. If you want to, you can even circle it on here. Now, there's three main ideas, three statements in this verse. First, Peter tells us that we are to live as free men. The second, he says, do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. And then finally, live as servants of God. Now, at first, this almost seems to be a contradiction, that the first thing he tells us is to live as free men, and then the third thing he tells us is to live as servants of God. Especially the way that people in this world think, it's very hard to put together those ideas of being free and being a servant. As we see as we go on, that they're not really contradictory ideas. I want to start with the first. Peter says, live as free men. Now, if we belong to Christ, then we are free. Paul wrote about this in Galatians 5. Galatians 5:1, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now, as I've made these visits to the prison, and I've gone through these many layers of security to get out of the prison, I've asked myself what it must be like to have lived for years and years and years in a place like that, and to finally get your freedom, to be released from those strict confines. Now, to the early church, to the people that Peter was writing this letter to, many of them were Jews. What that meant, to live as free, meant that they were no longer bound by the strict laws that God had given to Moses. He's telling them they didn't need to keep the appointed feasts. They didn't need to worry about which foods were clean and which were unclean. They didn't need to be circumcised. They could associate with Gentiles. See, God had given the law through Moses to Israel to show them that they could never, ever lead perfect lives. The law pointed out that the Israelites, just like all of us, could never overcome their sinful nature. They were always going to fall short. And as a result, they needed a Savior to redeem them. The law was meant to remind them of that, to draw their attention to that. But as followers of Jesus, we don't need the law to do that anymore. We recognize that we are sinful. As part of our faith, we acknowledge that we are sinful, and that sin separates us from God, and that it's only by Christ's sacrifice that we are saved, that we're able to be reconciled to God. In fact, Paul, writing further on in Galatians 5, makes the point that if anyone is trying to justify himself by living according to the law, he actually falls out of grace. He alienates himself from Christ because we cannot possibly do anything to justify ourselves. The law points out our sin. It doesn't free us from sin. So we are free. We don't have to abide by the strict law that God gave to Moses. But what happened then, we get to the second part of this verse, Peter has to tell them, do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Now, some of the Christians, some of the people in the church that Peter wrote to, they took the idea of freedom too far. They acted as if the grace of God gave them permission to do whatever they wanted. They could disrespect others. They could disrespect their masters. They could disrespect their leaders, each other. Some of them did evil things, claiming that Christ gave them the freedom to do those things. That's obviously wrong. But why is it wrong? Jesus did not free us to do as we want. Jesus freed us so that we could do what is right. Not to do what we want, to do what is right. Now, it's the same thing for the prisoner. A prisoner who spends years in prison and finally comes out and has his freedom. He's released not so that he can go out and do whatever he wants, so that he can break the law again. When a prisoner is released, he's being trusted with freedom, with the understanding that he will now obey the laws of his country. Jesus freed us from sin so that we can do what is right. Jesus himself said this in the Gospel of John. John 8, 34 to 36. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And Peter, actually, later on in this very passage that Richard read to us, verse 24, writes that he, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So Jesus did not free us so that we can sin. Jesus freed us from sin. Sin is what had bound us, what had kept us prisoner. So the final thing he says, we're to live as servants of God. Society tells us that freedom is living for ourselves. It's doing what we want to do, making our own choices. And many of us are tricked into believing that. But if we are living for ourselves, we're rejecting God. If we're living for ourselves and we're serving our own sinful nature and we're still slaves to sin. True freedom can never be doing what we want to do. Now imagine a society, if you will, where everyone was able to do what everyone wanted. There was no laws, no enforcement. Everyone could do whatever felt right, whatever they had the urge to do. It would be terrible. It would be chaotic. It would be dangerous. There actually wouldn't be real freedom for anyone, because everyone would live in fear that they'd be preyed upon. They could be robbed, murdered, beaten, attacked. In fact, the countries in the world that we look at as having the greatest freedom, those are the countries where people choose to submit themselves to moral laws. Right here in this country, in the United Kingdom, we willingly choose to restrict our behavior to those things that the law allows. And we hire police officers, we pay police officers and judges to enforce those laws, to make sure that we and other people don't break them. Because it's those restrictions that make life safe for everyone. We're actually more free, with more freedom to do most of the things that people do in life, because we don't claim absolute freedom, because we want those restrictions that keep all of us safe. And if that's true of an earthly society, imagine how much truer it is of our relationship with a perfect God. True freedom is submission to God, as Peter said, to become servants of God. Because when we make ourselves his servants, then we're not living for ourselves, then we have the freedom, just as we do in the society, to know that we're in safe hands, to know that we're protected. Human laws are not always perfect. Some are a bit ridiculous, some are too strict, some are too lenient. But God's will is perfect. We will always be safer and healthier if we submit to God's will. But more than that, serving God, being God's servants, is actually what we were created to do. Paul says this in Ephesians 2, verses 10. He tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That every single one of us was created to serve God, and God planned out, even before we were born, how we could serve him. When we make ourselves his servants, we're not denying ourselves, we're embracing our true self. We're embracing the people that God created us to be. We're becoming those people that God created us to be. What could be more free than that? All right, so Peter wrote this to the church 2,000 years ago. Live as free men. Do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. But what does that actually mean to us today? Now, Peter wrote that being free in Christ did not mean giving up worldly responsibilities. He said that slaves were still to serve their masters. Citizens were to honor the laws of the land. In fact, he even said, honor the emperor. Do you know who the emperor was at the time he wrote this? It was Nero. He killed and persecuted Christians. But still, as Christians, they were to honor him. Why? So that no one could say anything negative about the way that Christians live their lives. Peter points this out in verse 20, that if we do wrong and we're punished for it, well, we're getting what we deserve. There's nothing special about that. But if we do right, if we are always honoring God with our actions, and then we're treated poorly or we're persecuted, then we are a witness to others of the sincerity of our faith. We're a witness to others of what it means to serve a living God. Now, today, none of us here are slaves. We don't live in a country ruled by a cruel emperor. But that doesn't mean that our lives are easy. I don't think anyone here would say that my life is easy. I have no worries, no cares. Sometimes we can feel as if we're slaves to different things in our lives. It could be to our jobs. We could be in a situation where we're a carer for someone and we feel trapped in that situation. We could have debts that we feel that we're trapped in, slaves to. Or even our own schooling, to the schools we go to, universities, exams we have to take. Now, what Peter's saying to us today is the godly response is not to run away from these things or to reject them, to say that, oh, I'm free, I don't need to do these things, I can live for myself. But he says that we should freely accept these responsibilities and use them as a chance to serve God, in the situation that he's put us in. But also, we are to live as free men, as he says in verse 16. Which means that not to give these situations that feel that they've trapped us more importance than they deserve. A lot of times, when people have been locked up in prison for a long, long time, and they are released from prison, they don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with their newfound freedom. They're so used to being confined, being told what to do, when to do it, that when they finally have freedom, they don't know how to live their lives. And some of them in that situation will actually go out and commit a crime again simply so that they will be put back in prison where they feel safe and comfortable because that's all they've known for so long. And that we run the risk of doing that because when we take these responsibilities that God has said that we're freed from, but we can make ourselves slaves to them again. We can look at our jobs, which we should do to our best of our ability, honoring God in what we do, but we can attach our self-worth to those jobs. And we think that who we are, our own worth, is based on what job we have or what salary we earn. When in truth, you are precious, not because of whatever job you have or how much money you may earn, how much prestige or influence, but you are precious because you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. That your job, whatever it might be, is simply an avenue that God has provided for you so that you can serve him. Same with schoolwork. A lot of students feel trapped by thinking about their future. Where are they going to go to school? How are they going to do on their exams? But you cannot attach your sense of self-worth to where you go to school, what marks you get. That is not living as free. That is becoming a slave again to the things that Jesus has freed us from. Where you go to school doesn't matter. The marks that you get in your exams don't matter. You are precious because you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And your school, your university, your learning, those are tools which God is using to prepare you for the work that he created you to do before you were born. So yes, we do want to live up to our responsibilities, not because we're told that we have to, because we are slaves to them, but because we make ourselves servants of God, because we give our lives to God and trust him with our lives, then we choose freely to accept the responsibilities that he's given us, but we don't let them rule us because we are free. We're freed from sin. We're freed from the clutches of this world. And we're freed up for Christ. Amen.